You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
George, truth or dare?
I'm going to go with truth.
Okay. Truth is, tell me what you honestly thought about that movie that we just thought. Over the rest of this podcast review!
Right. Yay!
See, if you picked dare, yeah. I would have said, I dare you to convince me that was your favorite movie you've seen this year.
I could probably do that.
You might die tonight, man. I don't know.
Just narrowing it down, a favorite Blumhouse movie.
yeah, this is indeed a from Blumhouse Studios.
This is my favorite Blumhouse movie I've seen tonight.
Yeah, there you go. And it's, like a lot of Blumhouse films, firmly pointed at the like preteen to college level crowd, starring college students who all get themselves in a mess and die in relatively creative ways. I will say, I kind of felt like this was just kind of a twist on the Final Destination formula.
Final Destination and It Follows kind of like having a weird, ugly baby.
Yeah. The idea here is that this group of friends, which we meet right off the bat, and the movie just nails you on the head with, she's the good girl! Lucy Hale plays Olivia. Yeah, everybody's like his stereotype of what character they are in these type of horror films. She gets suckered in by her best friend, Marky, played by Violet Bean, to go with them on spring break to Mexico instead of her previous plan was to build houses for the homeless. We were like, aw, I hope nothing happens to that girl. and when they're there, they meet a cute guy, a Carter named by Landon Liboyron. I don't know if I'm saying that right, who goes, hey, I got a cool place for us to hang out. Let's go here. And it's in the middle of like nowhere in a big abandoned, like monastery.
It's a mission.
A mission.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, let's all play truth or dare. And so they do. And then when it turns around to his turn, truth, he's like, the truth is that, there's a real thing going on here and it's really dangerous and it's a supernatural game. And if you don't play truth or dare when your time comes, and believe me, you'll know it when it comes,
you die.
You'll die.
Tell the truth or you die. Do the dare or you die.
Yeah. Or you'll die.
Because you're all fucked.
So. And they're all like, okay, whatever. That guy's crazy balls. But of course, there would be no movie if he was just crazy balls. And in fact, there is some sort of evil presence that came up with this, I guess, because other evil presences had claimed all the good stuff.
Yeah.
So he's down to...
I mean, clearly there is something supernatural at work. I mean, that is established pretty early on, so it doesn't really get too far into spoiler territory to say that.
Yeah. And she and her friends end up being confronted by this entity that can manifest itself in any number of ways. It's a real multitasking supernatural entity, all things considered. It has an internet account. It has, like, it can possess people and make them into extras in Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun video.
it's kind of like it, but it's less creative. It just possesses humans and videos of humans.
Yeah.
More like the Chris Cunningham videos.
Yeah, well, that's, the Black Hole Sun one, though, that was the conceit, was that their faces
got a little
twisted.
Apex Twin also, yeah.
Apex Twin did it as well. I was kind of happy that they were using that here because it always seems when someone gets possessed, it's the same shit. They get, like, veiny faces or they get black eyes.
Well, and they establish that everything that they're seeing is in their head. So it's less that they're multitasking and more that he's able to possess their brain enough to make them see this.
One of the more fun aspects of the film, actually, is that, sort of conceit, or the sort of that, trick, the gimmick that they do.
All the ways that you can hallucinate some really freaky
which
things.
Which is in the ways in which this was definitely that, the ways in which they try and go a variety of clever things they can do to have them either die or things that they have to deal with. And then it follows.
Some of which are laughable, though.
It follows in sort of the deeply personal sort of way that it gets with these characters and the premise from the beginning of like, oh, it's a cute guy that tricks a girl into thinking he likes her, but really he's just trying to pass on a curse.
Right.
And then
when it's your turn, the way that you find out it's your turn is a little bit similar to like the people following you, and it follows.
Yeah, and
probably
it's
Final Destination, where you
right
your turn is the order that you would have died.
Yeah, and exactly. That was the other one was yeah. That it's the order in which something happened is the order in which the game goes.
Which, right, they kept breaking their own rules of. In their friendship, sometimes in the movie they were like, oh, it's your turn next, we have to stay with you. And then sometimes it would say, oh, it's your turn, let's just go put you in a room alone so you can get some rest. Yeah. Like, okay, what are we doing? Are we
whenever
are
anyone
we
has
be with them, or can they separate?
Yeah, like, okay, let's all stay.
Right,
what's
now
the plan? What's the plan?
Let's all stay together. Okay, right. But well, I need to go find my phone charger upstairs.
And the personal melodrama, like, you know, kind of screwed up the yeah. otherwise well-laid plans of sticking together and that sort of thing.
The thing about this movie that I felt like could have made it work, and the problem is ultimately, it really is goofy as shit. Even with the crazy faces, it's kind of laughable.
The rest
of the movie isn't funny at all. It like, I was like, man, why didn't they pay any attention to why Happy Death Day worked as well as it did? Because it was funny at the same time.
Exactly.
It was clever. Everything about this kind of felt like it was just taken from something else and mashed together.
There's also sort of a mean-spiritedness about this as well. It seems like there was just, anyone was willing to sort of sacrifice
mm-hmm.
anybody else. It seemed like, you know, Happy Death Day, there was a little bit more of a playfulness to it. This
right.
one was just, I don't know.
Lives felt like they held any weight to me.
Yeah.
When a friend would die, oh, we'd cry, we'd be upset for like 5 seconds, and the next scene, it's like, oh, let's still have relationship drama between my boyfriend.
You're still here. Who can pick a fight with?
I do think it does take itself a little too seriously in ways where moments that you should feel something end up playing almost comedic because of how seriously it's taken and like the music cues and stuff.
And I kind of wish as well, it's like if you're obviously looking at the Final Destination movies and inspiration, you looked at the wrong ones. You should have looked at two. The one where when the kills happened, they were kind of spectacular. They'd be like surprising and creative. And here I was like, yeah.
I mean, the drinking vodka while rocking, a rooftop is sort of like, well, okay. That's what you're going to do? All right.
Well, no, but then they had that twist where it became a little more dangerous, and that caught me off guard. And I was like, okay, way to step it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It was already high stakes, and now it's like, oh, what are we going to do with this new obstacle?
Well, that's the thing. I can't throw this movie out the window entirely because it does occasionally do some clever stuff in it. There's definitely some nice moments
in
this.
I love how they used social media, Snapchat and Facebook and all this stuff. It felt really grounded in the real world. I thought it was a good balance, and it made the characters feel like they were actually young teens and or early 20 people, and
actual college students.
Yeah, and it made the world seem vast, so it gave it a big landscape to plan, which I really enjoyed. Between Mexico and I don't know where they were coming from, maybe Texas or something like that, but they had a lot of different locations. It was cool.
I feel like this is a little inside baseball, but like Blumhouse like looks at calendars every year and goes, come on, give me another Friday the 13th and like circle that. And it's like, okay, what can we position? And they always put like their new wannabe franchises for Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Because like Happy Death Day was Friday the 13th. This is coming out Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm actually kind of sad that tradition of doing horror movies based around holidays has kind of gone the way of the dinosaur.
I know.
That was always fun to like, go on, man. There's still not a President's Day one. Where's the President's Day one?
No,
Happy Death Day is technically Groundhog's Day.
I'm pretty sure there's a President's Day one.
Is there?
Yeah, it's just a micro-budget one.
Okay, fair enough. I'm sure they had covered
it. No, there is. I've seen it.
Is there?
Yeah.
Not the Purge election?
No. There's actually a President's Day one. I'll look it up, but we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
But it's a thing.
It is a thing.
Like I said, if this had been funnier, if the kills had been a little more creative, if some of the actors aren't terrible, but the dialogue is pretty damn atrocious.
I know, you have feeling that the script said, okay, jock, okay, jerk, okay, you know, good girl, okay, troubled girl. You know, it's like rather than actual characters.
Didn't have such a problem with the characters being kind of two-dimensional. I had a bigger problem with the writing being, it was telegraphing everything that was going to come.
Totally.
It was
so
predictable. So, and I'm not even one of those people who will sit there like, okay, well, because they've repeated this line 7 times, it obviously it's going to come back. I'm not that person who looks for that. So for me to notice it was really apparent.
And I was constantly rolling my eyes through it going, oh my God, I can't believe it was so obvious that they were going to do that. It's like, it's one of those, I forget the thing that, it's a Roger Ebert law where it basically says if you ever see a gun in a movie, it's going to be used.
Let's check off, actually.
Check off,
okay.
Yeah. Or if you ever see, if anyone ever coughs in a movie, they have cancer.
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, in this movie, if anything shows up in it for any moment, then that will become integral to one of the games in it, you know?
Well, this isn't really a spoiler because it's in the trailer, but one of the characters, as you can see in the trailer, kills himself with a pin. They focus on that pin at least four times.
Yeah.
And in no movie has a pin had so much, like, screen time.
Yeah.
It was hilarious to me. Like, okay, we get it. The pin's important.
Yeah,
the even the girlfriend was named Pin. I'm like, okay, guys, well, seriously, we get it.
Yeah, they don't want people to go later, well, I don't know. How did he have a pin? Why did he have a pin?
Put it in front of the camera saying this.
That's a plot hole.
Just know that this guy always has a pin. And it is
it was like they were trying so hard to make sure that it was watertight that they ended up, like, sinking the ship. You know, it was, like, just kind of so ridiculously predictable, except for, I'll give them credit, the final stinger was like, okay, I thought this was going to go a different way, actually, because they set you up to think something else was different was going to happen. And I was like, oh. Right. And it was another example of something they had been telling you the whole time. This is an
important
thing.
When you think back to the opening scene and the very first truth or dare question in the game or something like that, like, there's actually a decent arc as far as how she gets to where she ends up. And then how this sets up a possible franchise. I think it's actually pretty exciting.
I will say as well, though, with the way they end it, they're going to kind of have to just ignore that it ended that way if they really want to do a franchise. I mean, unless they're going to go full on, like, world chaos.
Think about it.
Yeah, because, exactly. The Purge or Walking
Dead
version of this,
Everybody who stupidly, like, decides that, okay, after watching this video, I'm going to start a game.
Yeah.
Then there'll be pocket games all over the world. It's not like, people like...
I mean, it would have a very different feel than this movie. Yeah. And that may not be a bad thing if that... But, like, if it went by the traditional way horror movies do things, then they'll probably just ignore it.
I mean, I would like to see a different creative team handle this basic concept as a sequel to this, so I hope it's successful enough to get a franchise.
I think that this is a funny enough, a cool enough of an idea that a better script could deliver, could actually really deliver the goods on the concept.
Yeah.
And believe me, they'll get another chance. Yeah. I strongly suspect that will in fact happen. But, you know, I guess at the end you just go, well, it was all right. It was okay, I guess. It was not. I didn't feel like I didn't feel like it was an hour and a half. I desperately wanted to get out of the theater.
Yeah,
but longer than that.
But you know, I mean, a part of it is I've seen quite a few really great horror movies in a row, and I'm like, and then there's this one, which just kind of lies there and says, "Was it good for you too?" Sure, honey. Anyway, I'll just finish with my final thoughts there and say I'm gonna give it 4 out of 10 mystical, magical Mexican ladies. George?
I think I'll give it more credit than that. I do think it's a solid movie. If we were if we hadn't been on such a roll with horror movies lately, it would probably, you know, feel even better than it is. But as it is, it works for the most part. I think people will get a solid time out of this, really. It's not amazing. I think the way that it peppers in elements of different franchise movies works. And I do like the way it ends, and I do like the way that it sets up, you know, a potential franchise and where it can go from here, I think is actually cool. So I give it 6 out of 10 clay pots.
Frank?
You know, there's so many, like, missteps, or, you know, for every, like, misstep here, there's a piece of, you know, something really good. Like, I love that the setup and the flair that was in some of the death scenes, like when that guy stabs up with the pen. I thought that's really fun, and they had fun doing that. They did, yeah. But, I mean, it's just so cardboard, and it's so mean-spirited, and just not fun. And it's a shame, because it's a really fun concept. And I really like that it felt like it was, you know, the writers were just sort of like criticizing the 21st century youth and like how self-absorbed they are. And
what? Hating on millennials?
Yeah,
movie makers in their 40s? You know, no one does that.
No, I love that. I love that. But then that's what made me not like the ending, because it was just really, you know,
mean-spirited,
uber cynical.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree, it was super cynical, but I think they were setting us up for it the whole time, because it was like, you can't, that, like, bang the drum so hard on this one note before you go. They're doing something with that.
I think they bring it around in a way that's true to everything that's happened before.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just...
I would have been right there. Fuck everybody. I gotta live!
It did not go like you. It did not go where I thought it was going to go, ending-wise. And, but I didn't really care by that point because I wasn't having that much fun.
Yeah.
So, sorry. Gotta, yeah, no, it's fine. It's okay.
It's your fault, Cox.
No, you didn't write it. It's fine. Although I will say that I told two of you guys about Cry Wolf. It was from the same writer director, which is a very underrated 2005 slasher, which I actually liked and other people sort of liked. So I suggest give that a try instead of this one. I got to give this one probably 6 out of 10 vodka-filled strolls on a rooftop.
Kim?
My main thing going into this, I already dislike the premise. I hate to go into a movie bias, but... being someone who recently graduated college and has gone to many college parties and has tried to start a Truth or Dare game once or five times, it doesn't actually work that easily.
Yeah.
And definitely would not work in a castle or a
monastery,
creepy mission.
Well, and the friends all basic. They're all like, no, we don't want to play. No. So this is dumb. But
already lost me, but then I got pulled a little bit back in because the deaths were actually pretty cool to me. I don't see a lot of horror movies, so I think for kind of a novice horror movie fan or someone who just got dragged to this movie for some reason or another, not that I was dragged tonight, but, you know, if someone else were. It wouldn't be the worst movie ever. It kept me entertained. I was on the edge of my seat, and I did not see where the ending was going. Mm. And so, well, I saw some ways that the end was going, but then I didn't actually see the really last snippet of it. So for that, I'm going to give it 4 out of 10 poorly made mojitos.
See, when we get into the part, you know, the ring part of the ring part of the movie where they go, oh, we've got to understand the background and investigate what's going on, you know, which of course you know is going to happen from the beginning.
Right.
I was like, okay, so I feel like it's just because that first group was playing Truth or Dare that the game went that way. And like that before what started all this, it wasn't Truth or Dare. It was a different game. So what if they had played beer pong? What would have happened then?
They all poisoning or something.
I didn't like it. To pick a cup.
You drink or you die. Or you die from alcohol poisoning. Because you drink too much.
Bud Light, it's disgusting.
And you die.
No!